Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I mean, look at all these things that are taking place in the world today. Today, we want to just be able to talk about, you know, what can we do? You know, so many people say this. One man was walking down the beach one day and with this young little boy, and there was like star, I don't know if you've seen starfish before, but these little starfish, you know, that they're just creatures in the sea, and they got washed up on the shore. There's like starfish all over the shore, you know. There's so many you couldn't even count them. And so this little boy picks up this one starfish, and he throws it back into the water. And the man tells this boy, says, listen, you're never going to be able to make a difference here. There's so many of them. And the little boy picks another one up, and he says, you know what? I'll make the difference in this one's life, and throws it out. Can you imagine that somebody saying, because they have like five members of their family, they say, you know, I actually wanted to have, you know, 20 members of my family. So I'm just going to I don't care about these. There's only five. You think about it. That's the kind of the mindset that people have about the things of God, the things that the enemy's just kind of building up in mindsets and narratives today. And it's like, you know what? If there's only one person in your family, when you pour your life into that person and you love them, and God notices that, and plus that's what we're supposed to do. And you think about this, just like that little boy said about the starfish, you know, he was not discouraged. There's so many people, it is amazing what they do. When you're trying to help one, they criticize you when you find out they're not even helping one. Or they go, man, this world is in so much trouble right now. So many bad things are going on. What can I do? What can I do? And it makes me think about Johnny Youssef out of International House of Prayer, Kansas City. When he saw the massacre of the 21 Christians in on the shores of Tripoli in Libya, and his heart broke. He's actually from Egypt, and he knows the families. And he said, you know, I'm going to do something about it. And when we act like Johnny Youssef in our environments and begin to do something, remember this. Remember this, in the end days, when your end day happens and you stand before the throne room of God, he's going to say, okay, you had a beach full of starfish, but did you even help one? Did you do anything with what I entrusted to you? Let's watch Johnny Youssef from International House of Prayer in Kansas City. When he saw it, his heart went out and what took place and what he's doing. I just think it's a beautiful thing, and we can be just like him, and we can even help him. Take a look. Watch.
Hey guys, my name is Johnny, and I'm originally born in Egypt. And yesterday when I was on my Facebook, between the news of the Kardashians and 50 Shades of Grey, I saw a few of my Egyptian friends with updates on the 21 Egyptians, Christians that were killed in Libya. They were beheaded by ISIS for their faith. I just started thinking about their families, and I just can't imagine what they're going through. And just last night, I couldn't really sleep just thinking, how can I help in this situation? I contacted my relatives back in Egypt, and they did confirm with me that they have direct contact with those families of the lost ones. And the reason I'm here is to ask you to consider supporting those families of the lost ones. I realize that money cannot get those men back, but I also know that those men left the country so that they can try to find jobs so that they can support their families back in Egypt. And instead they got kidnapped and they got murdered for their faith. And if there's anything you can do to help, it would make a huge difference. My goal is $5,000 for each of them. So will you consider supporting them? 100% of what you're going to give is going to go to those families.
Johnny Youssef, we are so proud of you. I mean, you think about that. So many people are thinking, like, what can I do? He knows their families. The reason you think, why were these Egyptians in Libya? He's telling us they were there trying to find, you know, resources, income, a job to be able to bring money into their family. And so how can we minute? We could do just help Johnny out, you know, and think about, you know, 5,000 a family. And if you measure economies based off what Americans spend versus other nations spend, that's a significant amount of money that can really help them out. But this is the thing. The thing is, how many people would tell Johnny, that's too small. I mean, listen, this thing, ISIS is big and ISIL is big and darkness is happening and terrible things are happening right there in your own community, right there in Kansas City, you know, where you are. As a matter of fact, these things just happened recently there. You need to focus on that. But this is the big thing. Think about, you know, you see Joel Osteen today in Houston. His father, John Osteen, he talked about, you know, he's with the Lord now. But he said, you know, he talked about a story of a particular minister, you know, who said, you know, he just didn't know what to do. He was praying, what's the will of God? And what do I need to do? I need to do something. I don't know what it is. And finally he says, you know, if I get to this conference, if I can just get in there to John Osteen's office, if I can get back there and spend some time with him, if I could spend some time with him, I know at that moment, you know, I'm going to know what to do. So he does. He gets to the conference. He gets back there in John Osteen's office, and John hears all this, you know, all these things that he's talking about. I don't know what to do. And, you know, I knew if I get back here, you know, you're going to tell me some great wisdom or whatever. So John Osteen, he's a small man. He put his hands together like this, and he kind of leans back, and he thinks for a minute, looks back at the guy, and he goes, you know what? Do something, lest you do nothing. This is what the Lord said. The Lord says, in the end time, when we stand before him, whatever we did or didn't do, that's going to evaluate our eternity. It's not doing something gets us into eternity and gets us eternal life. But the fact that we didn't do anything proves that we didn't have fruit, that we really weren't what we said we were. You know, as a flower produces pollen and a bee produces honey, when you're a Christian and you love Jesus, I mean, you're going to do something. You're going to be like Johnny Youssef with International House of Prayer Kansas City. He's an Egyptian. These are his friends. He's seeing what's happened over here. And it's like, oh my goodness. Now think about this. Imagine if there's like 10 Johnnies or 20 Johnnies or 1,000. If it's time, if we wake up as the church and begin to say, you know what, I can't affect every starfish on the beach, but I'm going to quit thinking because I only have one person or two people in my workplace or three people, or my church size is smaller than so-and-so's church size and all these numbers. So, you know, I'm going to impact these people. And you think about this, and we're going to go to a break, but this is what we're going to talk about today. Jesus had 12. Jesus, the Son of God, had 12, and he's still impacting the world today. You're reading books written by these 12. It's time to focus on what God has entrusted to you. And if you're faithful in those things, if we're faithful with this season of the earth and what's happening in the universe and what's happening now, you know, God will take it and do what his will. It's his will that's coming to pass and what we want to come pass here on the earth. But he needs to find us faithful. He needs to find us doing the work. We need to be like Johnny Youssef and say, you know what? It may not be much, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to move on this compassion that's on my heart. And I'm excited about coming really soon called Links of Kindness that's going to be, you know, breaking forth in our audience, you know, around the nation. And it's going to be exciting because, you know, you don't want to be the missing link when somebody's so nice things into your life and kindness, like God has really sown a ton in our lives in America. We need to begin to give that away. We don't want to be the missing link. Is that not? It's just so beautiful to see what Johnny's doing.
Yes.
And that is our desire, is that it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what you need to do with the news that you know.
That's right. One person sitting at home.
Right. IHOP.
IHOP. Think about it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden decides, you know, I can do something.
Yes.
I can do something.
He felt the compassion. And how many times do people feel he felt... You know, compassion has two components.
Yes, it does.
Because a lot of times we're calling compassion, it's like, that's love. It's like, that's not love. That's a memo.
Yeah.
But compassion, you know, has two parts to it. You know, he said, you know, the Word of God says, you know, Jesus came out of the mountains and he saw the people. And obviously he saw the spiritual battle that was going on over the people. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities. So it's a spiritual battle, not physical. He came out of the mountains, he looked at the people, and he was moved with compassion because he saw the people. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So his response was, not only did he feel bad about it, he says, so then he taught them many things. So like Johnny Youssef, he had compassion because it had those two components where he was not only moved by what he saw and brokenhearted about it, but he says, I'm going to do something about
it. Yeah.
And what we have is a lot of pity. People see the news and go, pity, pitiful. That's just pity, pitiful. I mean, you know, hear them like, did you see? I thought that was pitiful too. Wasn't that pitiful? I was just pitiful. And it's not compassion. Compassion is what Johnny did.
Well, they'll try to do something in their own, you know, works. There's no compassion behind it. And it's not, it's the most important thing is to have the compassion, because if you have that, it'll overflow into, you know, true action.
Hey, do something.
Hey.
Even if you're, there's nothing really being, everybody's looking to government to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, only 3% of the church is even understanding how those things honor God in that. And so, you know, the church is looking to government to take care of what we do as the church. And we have to do it because, you know, like, people don't want to pay taxes, people don't want to honor God. And so they're kind of, you know, stuck there. But either way, I mean, compassion has two points. I think there's more pity. I mean, after a while, people get hard-hearted and their conscience gets seared. But there was a season of going like, that's just terrible. That's just so bad. Oh, it's like, and they talk about it at the water cooler at work. I saw that last night. That was something, but nobody's ever doing anything about it. And nor does the secular media want you to do anything about it. All they wanted to do is show you something so shocking and so shock and awe that your heart's wide open. And all of a sudden they go, and you know, you need to buy a Chevrolet if you buy a Chevrolet. I mean, it's all they can't, you know, they weren't wanting necessarily to do something about it as much as they wanted you to hang around to watch that commercial.
The next thing, right.
The next thing, you know, versus, you know, when we have, you know, our sponsors and partners are standing up with us, they're standing up for God and country and Israel. You know, that's what they're standing up for. That the whole thing is like, we're bringing this thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want to stand up together. So when we're seeing things like Johnny, Youssef, we're seeing all the different things that happen. We're saying, you know, we want to stand with you. Miriam over in Iraq, you know, and we wanted to be able to support her and pray for her. And just so many things that so we got to begin to think, you know, when God divides up all the human beings of the earth, it's going to be one simple thing. What did you do? What did you do? And he divides them based on sheep and goats. Some people go, well, I got invited to the party. Well, he gave us the whole scenario and being invited to the party. He says, yeah, everybody's going to be invited to the party, but he's going to walk through that party and find out who's dressed in the gown salvation, the white gown of salvation. And so, and it's like somebody says, well, that's all you got if you just get the gown on. And it's like, no, you're at the party. But the fact is that if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're actually doing what the Lord tells you to do. He's the Lord. He's the master of your life.
If I'm your father, where's my honor, right?
That's exactly what he said.
And where's my worship?
Well, the Pharisees came up and they looked straight at Jesus and they said, you know, well, our father, Abraham. No, you're looking at the Son of God,
right?
Whose father is God, who's trying to tell them, you're off track here. You need to listen to me a little bit, you know? And if you listen to me, it is listening to the Father God, creator. And they said, our father, Abraham. And he goes, if your father was Abraham, you'd be listening to me, because Abraham he saw me. He knew what was going to be happening. He said, but your father, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't say this. Jesus and John said this. He said, you're listening to your father, all right. Your father, Satan, who is a liar, and he's the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. I mean, he's kept, you know, it's like, wow. You know, we're beginning to see it's a native language now. I misspoke. I mean, these words is like, this is a native language that we have now. You remember when you did that, you know, 21 people lost their heads. Right?
That's right.
Do you remember? Like, let's don't get too high and mighty. You know, get our high horse. Let's remember the Crusaders here. Few days later, what do we have? We have 21 Christians beheaded, and they're saying on the video that we're killing the Crusaders. And you're thinking, like, I misspoke. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, we're just, it's like a native language when you can just lie. And so many people, you ask them today, and they don't even blink it. Yeah, I know, but he could still lead our state. You know, he could still, you know, I'm still going to marry him.
He's really good with numbers.
He's really good with numbers. Did you see how their gift? The bottom line. They have ability, a gift, and they got the gift. That means they got God, right? I don't know that because I haven't read Matthew chapter 7 because I don't read it. But Jesus says many people are going to say that on the last days. And it's like, you got to really know him. You have to really know him. And so you think about this, you think about compassion is having two components to it. The first is you see it. In other words, you have to get out of your corner and
your box.
And if you're not going to do anything about it, after a while, what happens is you get compassion fatigue, where you're wanting to do something about it, but you never act on it. The enemy beats you down. He lies to you. You have a lot of people around you who agree with the enemy. They go, yeah, yeah, you can never, you know, these starfish will never, you know, what's the big deal? And they think there's no value in helping one.
Mm-hmm.
The day the church gets back to helping the one, that's the whole thing. There's more in the one than there is in the million, because you think you're helping a million, but if you go sit with that crowd, their end is more darkness than the world's end. And they're doing it thinking it's okay.
Right.
But when you start getting with the one, but what did Jesus do? Jesus stopped with the one. Even in the crowds, he ministered to the one. When we begin to do, this is when you think about, you know, what does God really want from us? He wants our love. He wants our heart, you know, love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he says, you know, those who believe, baptize them. And he says, and teach them to be my disciples. And so a disciple of Jesus is someone who actually knows what his teachings are and follows them. But Jesus said, if you know my teachings and follow them, you're really my disciple.
Then.
Yeah.
Then you're really my disciple. Yeah. Words are so important, you know.
He says something about it in Luke, too, that if you don't give up everything, you know, let it go in regards to just let it go, then you can't be his disciple.
Yeah.
And so what we did, we just had replacement theology, and we replaced all that. And it's like, you know, if you give a tip to God every now and then, if you help out a homeless person every now and then, it's not true. I mean, whatever Jesus said is right, and we just got to line up ourselves with that. But compassion is so important. And he's gonna say, when he gathers us all together on the last days, I mean, this is what he's going to do. This is what he said. He said, it's like a king. The last days are like a king gathering up all of his subjects, you know, and he's going to divide them. He's going to put some on his right hand and some on his left hand. And the ones on one side are going to be sheep, and the ones on the other side are going to be goats. This is what he's saying. This, just so you know, this Jesus that, you know, that you hear people talking about, this is what he said it's going to be like. It's going to be like this. What's so cool is you're finding out today, which means you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today, I mean, by doing what's right today. Anybody that's telling you anything different, listen, you stand alone before God at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually do like Johnny Youssef and begin to say, you know what, I'm going to do what God lays on my heart to do. And so then he says he will speak to the sheep, he'll speak to the goats, and he'll say to the sheep, he'll say, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was sick, when I needed water, when there was this thing that normal humanity, soft-hearted, loving people who love me and follow me, when their hearts go out, you saw that, like Johnny Youssef, and you did something about it. You gave me water when I was thirsty. You gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me clothes when I was naked. You visited me when I was in jail and in prison, like Pastor Youssef over in Iran. You know, when I was sick, you came and visited me. I mean, you thought about somebody other than yourself, right? And then he goes, Jesus is going to say to the sheep, he says, you know, I'm just so moved. He's like, you know, you've done such an excellent job. I want you to enter in to the joy of the Lord. Come on in. I mean, everything. I'm just so pleased with you. Then he's going to say to the goats, and people tell you that this is not how it's going to be divided out. Jesus is saying this is how it's going to be divided out. Works doesn't save you. Doesn't save you. But if you have made Jesus Christ the Lord, the governor, the one who tells you what to do, one you love and you trust, then you do what he says.
That's it. It's a byproduct. Just.
By the way, he says things like what Johnny Youssef said, and he does it with that compassion, right? And so then he's going to say this. He's going to say to the goats, he's going to say, which means you have goat nations and you have sheep nations. You have a goat person and a sheep person. He's going to say, you know, when I was hungry, you didn't even give me any food. When I was thirsty, you didn't even give me any water. You know, when I was sick, I mean, you didn't even pray for me, much less come by and even, you know,
see me.
And when I was in prison, you go, yeah, I thought she was that way. I thought he was that way. You didn't, that was me in prison. You didn't even come and visit me. You were too concerned about what you look like when you come and see me in prison. I think about Billy Graham when he went to go see Jim Baker in prison. I mean, just a beautiful man. And just showing the love of God. And of course, because it's based on pride, you know, saying that, you know, you got it all figured out, and you replace that theology and you're finding out, even though you replaced it, now it's being, you're being confronted with the throne room of God. Now he's bringing up what you replaced and they're going to say this. They're going to say, when were you thirsty when were people going through your community and beheading the men and raping the women and pushing the people out of the, when were you thirsty? Come on. Come on. When were you hungry? You know, King, I'm with you, man. I voted for you. Right?
Yeah.
All those people, right? Yeah, right. And so, when were you sick and went in prison? You know, I don't have no friends in prison, so that couldn't have been you, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to say this. He's going to say, whatever, look at me for a moment. Think about this. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. Away from me, you evil doers. Isn't it interesting? We're being judged for not doing good. About not doing good, we're doing something. You're always doing something. I mean, if we're not serving Jesus, we're serving ourselves, serving something else. And he says, away from me, you evildoers, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not like another address in heaven. I mean, think about it. And somebody says, well, you're not saved by works. I totally got, saved by grace. I know that. But understand, as a flower is a flower and it produces pollen, it doesn't become a flower because it produced pollen, but because it is a flower, it produces pollen. So if the flower says, I'm a flower, and it's like, you don't have any pollen, like once you start producing pollen, we'll believe that you're a flower.
Right.
And as a bee produces honey, a believer has compassion, does two things. We see the need. We want to provide the need. We're looking for something. And then we do something about it. We do something about it. He says in the last days, he said, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When you think about that, all these things that are talked about, those are things that are happening today. And the crazy thing is that people are actually teaching this stuff in a gathering in some places. They're calling, hey, this is where I go to church. What do they teach you? They say, hey, that you can be lovers of yourself. Matter of fact, I got 5 points how to be a better self. When go to this other particular church who's preaching doctrine that says how to deny yourself.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go to that one. I'm going to go to the one that how to be a better self. The better self.
I know it's a seventh edition, but I still want to hear it.
Right. And it's like all these, the doctrines of darkness is being taught. And the thing about it is that this is why the world is why it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, all of God's people are doing, we're doing the right thing and God's allowing this darkness to come down on us. It's because we've sinned. God does not bring calamity on a righteous people, a people that, he says that when you have evil rulers, people cry out, and scrunch their teeth and all these type of things. He said, but when there's righteous rule, then you have joy and peace and fruitfulness.
The Bible also says that righteousness exalts a nation.
But then he gives us leaders that we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get disciplined by the leaders we deserved, or we get blessed by the leaders we deserve.
That's right.
And so we got to be, this has to do with our sin. Do we have any compassion? And this is what's going to happen this summer based on what we're hearing from the Lord and hearing from others here from the Lord is it's coming to the shores of America. It's coming to a neighborhood near you.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, when I think about Kechara Bradford in Houston, and when God spoke to her, she began to hear the voice of the Lord in a night vision, and they're out in this big public thing going on, and all of a sudden the speaker system gets taken over, and guess who's on the speaker system? The spirit of radical Islam, and it's saying, everybody go to your homes. Everybody go to your homes. So everybody has to go to their home. And then the next part of what the Lord was saying to her was, that the day of reckoning is coming, because God was going to come to everybody's house. Don't think of it as just your residence. He's going to come to you, and he's going to say, choose who you're going to serve. That's where we're at, because right now it's kind of blurry. A lot of things have been taught that's not right. We replaced a lot of theology. It's real simple. All you do is pick up your Bible and read it. You can find out, where it's at, and find out what you need to do. And you can begin to abide with the Lord. Now, what we would recommend, and I know we're fixing to go to break, is multiply movement. Begin to do the first thing. You've made him the Lord of your life. You said you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now make him the Lord of your life. which is Be His Disciple, and multiplymovement.com. And you go there, and it'll simple little process. You can quickly begin to, you know what? I could. This is what God wants.
You can even download the app on your phone.
Yes, yes. Multiplymovement.com. So, yeah, when you think about this, this is a very empowering thing. So when you finally decide, you know, you're going to do something about this, you know what? I'm going to get busy. The first thing, I'm telling you, the first thing that's going to happen to you is somebody who is held captive by a religious spirit is going to begin to evaluate you. They're going to tell you, you know, who do you think you are, Gideon?
So then the rulers come out, right?
Yeah, the rulers come out and begin to measure what you're doing. Now, if this will be a quick lesson here for what you do. You first look at what they're doing and realize they're doing nothing. They're not practicing what they say that they're hearing. And then that'll encourage you. Now, they're going to continue to tell you that, you know, you're not doing enough, you need to do more. But then you look at their life and you'll go like, you're not doing squat. You know, and then you want to encourage them to come over to do something for God, but understand whether they do or don't, you stand alone before God. And this will excite you because you'll just notice, you know, when you're sitting here trying to disciple one person and you're trying to pour your life into one person, you'll have people criticize you and say, just like a family size that I talked about earlier, you know, imagine if you got 10 people in your family and here you have, you know, you have two children. A husband and a wife in there, and you know, you're doing your best and you're providing a living for them and you're, you know, training them up in the ways of the Lord and do this kind of stuff. And somebody that has 10 members in their family to come by your family and criticize you. Now you're doing the same thing. You're going to work and you're, you know, feeding your family and you got a house over your head and you're loving on those, that family member, and you're following God. But these people with 10 members in their family, Just because they have a bigger family doing the very same thing, they come and criticize you because you only have two children in your family.
Right.
That is outright ignorant and stupid, but true. People do that.
They do it all day.
And so then you have people begin to say, I guess, they begin to reject the two members in their family.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to say, this is just not right. You know, we should have 10 members. You know, Susan, she has this many people in her family.
They start blaming and looking at their own situation, seeing as insignificant as compared to the bigger.
Right. And so you think about that, then it's, I'm telling you, you know, if you just interview the crowd and you ask them questions like, how many gospels are in the Bible? Is your pastor, or like ABC, you know, did an interview with a pastor in this mega church situation, and this is ABC News, and he's got a black line across his eyes, and he's going, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
Like, right? You're an atheist. What are you doing here? And he's like, I couldn't find any other trade.
Yeah.
We have this video for you on the VFN Torch, and I'm not saying that that's always an equivalent, but just understand, like, just because there's a crowd, I mean, think about this. Think about this. Cows, if you look at cows, they herd together. They just kind of herd together. They don't herd together because they're saved. They don't herd together because they're Christians. They just kind of herd together. It's just that it's an animal instinct that you just herd. If you come together, there's safety in the herd. You know, I heard, right? And so this cow, you know, they get a brand new gate at this particular pasture. And so this cow kind of breaks away and just starts staring at this new gate. He's like, you know, he's trying to think, I haven't seen this gate here before, right? And these other cows in the herd are start going like, what's he doing over there? You know,
there's like, something
new. It's like, hey, maybe there's a new doctrine going. There's a new teaching going on over there. I don't know. Let's go see. And all of a sudden, another one breaks away from the herd, and another one breaks away from the herd. And all of a sudden, you have a herd of cows around the gate. And so people start saying, God has a new gate doctrine.
Mm.
You think about it, because the crowd switched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the herd had nothing to do with it. Safety's not in the herd. Safety's not in numbers. Safety's in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, it's exciting to see a large crowd of people excited for God and going after God. But the reality is, if you've been there for 10 years and you don't even know their name, this is what you have to ask yourself, because this is what the Word of God says. He says, if you say you love me, if you really say you love me, but you say you hate your brother, you don't even know your brother. Think about that. You hate your brother. He says, you don't even know. You don't love me. He says, you're a liar. But he says, because how can you love me that you can't see? but you don't love your brother that you can see. And he says, you're a liar. So the thing is that we determine who we are in God based off of who we are with people, with other people. People say, you know, I could serve God if it wasn't for people. You know, people's in my way. And I'm like, Pat, listen. No, I'm just having a fun time. That's not true anymore. And so the
we've heard it said that's a true statement. Yeah, right. Person, it is a true statement.
Oh, I know. It was a graduate from a Bible school. So anyway.
Wow.
And so see, the cow, animal instincts, is what causes them to come together, to coagulate. And your blood comes together because that's what it does. And it doesn't mean the cows are saved. It means there's some physical attribute inside of us that says it must be a safer place here because there's more people. But when you think about Jude, when he writes about, and he says, you argue about what you don't know. And like unreasoning animals, they're very unreasoning people. He says that people know by instinct, the animal instinct. That's the thing that's destroying you. Mm. You're going off of what's an animal instinct. You're saying that's right, that's righteous. And it's like, how do you get there from here? How do I hear the right thing? And the word of God just lets us know is nobody's going to know unless you tell them, and nobody's going to tell them unless someone's sent. So there is a process in that. But what you can do, if you want to know how to get from here to another state, you pick out a map. You just pull out a road map and you go, you know what? I'm going to look. By the way, there was a map before
Google Maps.
I encourage you to get a paper map. But anyway, it's called an atlas. But you begin to, you know, pull up an app, a map, you know, Google Maps or Quest, what, MapQuest or something. I don't know. Anyway, so that, and then you just map a route out and you go, that's how I'm going to get there. But it's all of a sudden when it comes to God, people say, you don't need a map. You just kind of like, you just go, God. God, and you just show up where the hurt is, right? That's what I heard. Right? And what it is God's given us a map. He's given us a map. It's called the Bible. I mean, it would be so unfair for God, and he's a very fair God. It'd be so unfair for him to say, listen, I want you to be able to get to this location, but I'm not going to give you a map. I'm not going to tell you how to get there. Mm-hmm. He gave us his word. I mean, think about it. It's the most published, printed book in the history. In the history of the world. I mean, you think about that. It is the most printed book in the history of the world. Mm.
Bestseller.
Total bestseller. I mean, think about this. I think that, you know, a roadmap. I mean, if you want to know how to do marriage, but right now we're having a lot of difficulty. And by the way, this stuff we're having right now with marriage, we got off the road a long time ago in marriage.
Yeah,
a long time ago. This is just the next turn on a road that we don't know where we're going, and it's going to keep going. By the way, until we, I think even I remember John Paul Jackson talked about when he was prophesying about these days. Mm. He said there's going to be a day that even a male is going to be able to carry a child. Remember that the prophecy,
John
Paul
Jackson. Yeah.
We have that available for you, you know. And but you think, I mean, so. God gives us a roadmap to marriage, what he says about marriage. He gives us a roadmap. Not only that, it's not just like marriage. It's not just about finding somebody of the opposite sex. And bingo, you did it.
That's it.
It's actually living a life, being a disciple of Jesus Christ in that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people just, you know, got married in some church? I'm so crazy. You know, people say, it was the wildest thing, you know. I used to, you know, pastor a traditional, you know, church, and, you know, people would call you up who don't even know God, who never knew God, who just, you know, finished doing whatever. You know, and they call you up and say, hey, you know, can you marry us?
Yeah.
Like, who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, when did the church become, our job is to marry folks?
That's right.
As a pastor, the job of a pastor is to pastor God's folks.
Mm-hmm.
We're not called to pastor the world. We're not even called to judge the world. Paul says, aren't you supposed to do that? We're supposed to judge ourselves in regards to the church, but not the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not supposed to judge them, we definitely aren't supposed to be marrying them. Why are we even in the world? Anyway, so getting into, so there's a map. There's a map in how to do marriage, how to either be married or not be married, to be single or not be single. There's actually a map in Bible, in the Word, that tells you how to handle finance. of all the things spoken about in the Word of God, I mean, finance, because where your treasure is, this is what the Word of God says, that's where your heart is. So ever how you manage your money, that's how you manage your relationship that's with right. the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where your treasure is. And so, and not just money, it could be just increase, whatever it is. Do you think about God when he gives you things, when he gives you more? Mm-hmm. And so, but there is, it's a roadmap. It's just, it's not that complicated. If it was really complicated, John probably could do it. Nah. But I needed the roadmap. My problem was, though, you know, when I became a new believer, was first of all, myself, I was the biggest problem. But then I would actually see what a lot of people who weren't even looking at the map were saying the direction was how to get to marriage, how to get to this, how to get to that. And I thought, you know, because they, you know, they're in the herd, you know, that they must know what they're doing.
They've been in the herd longer.
And then you start finding out, it's like, you're not anywhere near the map of God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What do you got to do? What do you do when you join a church and you find out no one's saved? <You know>? No one knows Jesus. I mean, think about it. Or they left him. You think about that. You said that couldn't happen. Have you read Revelation?
Hello.
Those letters are written to the church. It's not written to the world. He's talking about, you know, you left your first love, that, you know, you followed the wrong way. I mean, that's what Thyatira was about, that, you know, you followed some other roadmap. You followed Jezebel's roadmap. That's what he says. He calls herself a prophet. She says she knows the way. And those who follow her way is her children, spiritual
children.
That's
right.
And when we follow God's way, then we're God's child. That's basically how that works. And so we got to find out, you know, what is the roadmap, God's map to relationships? What is his roadmap to the church? We got to get back to even the original tent of the church. What? It's not as hard, and it doesn't take a $1.3 million budget to think about this. I know we got to get a break. I'm hearing it. Listen, that according to statistics in America, that the American present day church spends approximately $1.3 million, John. Think about it. $1.3 million per baptized believer. I mean, think of what you could do with 1.3. If you just divided that out to 10 grand segments and just go over to Iraq right now, go over to Nigeria, where 80% are living on less than a dollar, and just give them, say, God loves you, here's 10 grand. They'll serve God the rest of their life. Going, that was so kind. It was so gracious. $1.3 million per baptized believer. Mm. What is that going towards? It's going towards that huge building that's used once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. It's going towards the huge power bill and the salaries for two people or three people. Well, whatever that is. Thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you think about, what could we do with this? There's a roadmap that says this is what we're supposed to do. And you think about it. In the last days, when we're standing before God, he's not going to say, how many buildings did you build? Mm. It's not going to count. He's going to say, how many people did you build? How many lives did you pour into? How did you invest into people? Not even the prison that they were in. Remember, it was the prisoner in the prison. Mm. It wasn't the type of food. Did you give the food to the person? It wasn't the type of water. Was it, you know, Starbucks water? Was it the special water? Was it just tap water? Did you give the water to the person? We're all caught up in the containers, and we're not even thinking about the content. And God is into the content. You're created in the image and likeness of God. God loves you and has a plan for your life, and you matter. Even if you're one starfish in the midst of 10,000 on the beach, you are a star in God's heart. All right, so you think about a map. They're so important.
Yeah.
When you think about it. So God has a way. So when we say, you know, when the Lord tells us, those who know my teachings and follow them, think about that. We're called followers of Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they follow none other, which means we start somewhere and we end up somewhere else. I mean, you're never, there's no such thing really as a stationary place in God. You're either going forward or you're going backwards.
That's right.
The thing about backwards is our brain, you know, they say the longer that we're deceived, the thicker the veil gets in our life, the harder it is to convince them through that thick veil. The truth is kind of comes like, they can't hear anymore. The simple truth, they used to hear because their heart was tender. Mm-hmm. Now when you start talking to them, it's kind of muzzled. You're speaking through all that deception and things that are going on. You still can reach them, but you can't reach them with the same light intensity. Right. It's not more gentle promptings anymore. You know, it takes things like a whole nation going up in upheaval to be able to turn things around. But isn't that right? You think about, I mean, the Bible. I think about if 81% are not picking up their Bible, the answer is then I need to start picking up my Bible
And it's not because we don't have any, because about 4.7 billion have been printed, and it's the best seller every year. In fact, I think some reports are there's 7 Bibles per household.
In America.
In America.
7. And 81% don't even pick it up.
Don't even pick it up.
You just write, you know, write in the dust, like, read me.
Read me. Read me. Yeah.
But think about this. How can you be a follower of the Word? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So you can't say, that's the Bible. I love Jesus. I just don't like what he has to say, you know. These old preachers preach, 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 teach, teach, teach. And it's like, Jesus, let's call the teacher.
Yeah.
He's teaching us the roadmap to what's right. He's not giving us a whole bunch of rules and regulations. He's actually showing us how to live in his creation, how to live a blessed life, how to live outside of being in captivity of the adversary. And there is there's wisdom nuggets that you can live your life by. There's like 31 proverbs in the book of the Bible, mm-hmm. called Proverbs. And you know, we talked to one particular businessman once, and he was, according to him, wanted on every boards all around, different types of boards, wanted him on their board because he operated off those wisdom principles in the book of Proverbs. And what he did was, if it was the first day of the week, he would read Proverbs chapter 1.
First day of the month.
First day of the month. And if it was the 30th day of the month, he'd read Proverbs 30. You know, and whatever day it was corresponding, he would read that proverb. And he would run his businesses that way. And if he was on the board, he would just expect, this is how the businesses is to be made. And one of the businesses that the board he was on was bank, on the banking industry, a bank board. And he says, well, Proverbs says that we are not supposed to charge excessive usury, which is a whole bunch of interest. And he realized that one of the big profit lines in banks is overdrafts. The reason why a bank would give you free checking is because not every bank does this. You know, some are great, but the profit line, he was saying, the profits that they would make off of people who did not pay any money for their checking was huge, because those are the people that struggle, and sometimes they got more month than money, and they write a check that bounces, and so they end up paying $35, $40 for a bounced check.
Yeah.
And so they were making their money off of excessive usury. They were actually taking the poor man who was struggling week to week and charging him, instead of $7 for a checking account every month or $10 for a checking account every month, they charged him $200 or $300 for checks that bounced all around town.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that person is struggling. Like, how do I come out of this? I got free checking.
Yeah.
It's like, pay the $15.
That's right.
And he said, I won't serve on this board unless you line up and move. We don't want our main profit margin to be made off of those that are struggling in that area. And they changed it, and the bank prospered. And there is wisdom in God's word. And we're so excited about, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, because we got some things that are going to be breaking out. We got so many things God is revealed to us, and they're going to be unfolding over a period of time. But we believe that God has a word for your business. He has a word for the education system, that God has a word for arts and entertainment and your family and government. I mean, I'm telling you, when we begin to get back into the roadmap of God, we're going to find it's just going to be blessed. Things are just going to be blessed again. And every board he gets on and got on, and even his own companies prospered, because he would just do it. And he didn't say, you know, God was my co-pilot. He put God on his corporate papers as the CEO.
Yes, he did.
He was the chief operating officer.
Yeah.
Chief executive officer. The CEO. And he was actually under God, not over God. And he would just submit to whatever God said about that business is how he would run it.
And this is a multimillionaire.
You think about it. I just heard just recently that an atheist wanted to teach their kid to read. And there was a Bible application.
Yeah.
And even an atheist was willing to use the Bible to learn how to read. Let me tell you something. As the church, if we won't even turn to God's way of doing business, and don't you want your business to be successful? Don't you want your family to be successful? God wants you to be successful, but that'll happen in the context of his map, his roadmap of doing these things. It's not that complicated. I mean, you look at the Jewish people. The Jewish people are blessed people, but they do some things. There's some certain things that they do that causes these things to come to pass. This is not pennies from heaven. Israel got the way that it is because God leading them back to the land, but they worked hard in that land.
Mm.
They worked intense. They just worked, you know, nonstop. They're just relentless in working on things. And now you're looking at, you know, most of the processors come out of there, I believe, and technology and agricultural medical things. And but their work ethic is amazing. And so we could imitate that.
Yes.
We got to get a work ethic again, you know, as Americans, as Christian Americans, and begin to say, you know what, I'm going to be like Joseph despite everybody else. I'm not going to complain about my pay anymore because Joseph, everybody was a slave, right? And so I'm just going to go ahead and just do my job and let God bless me. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray that God would touch you and you would begin to be like Johnny Youssef and say, you know what? I'm going to start picking up. If it's just one starfish, if it's just one person, I'm going to have compassion and I'm going to do something in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray right now for our audience. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this link of kindness that's going to be loosed and all the things that are happening. I thank you for Johnny Youssef, God. And I just pray for our listener right now, that they begin to say, you know what? I'm going to take a portion of what you give me, God. I'm going to begin to bless people with it. I'm going to begin to bless people like Johnny's doing, like others are doing. I want to be a part. I want to be a sheep nation. I want to be a sheep standing at your right hand when you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's who I want to be. If that's you, say, God, here it is. Here it is. God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I truly want to follow you. I want to follow your word. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, iabide.org. I'm telling you, your life will change when you begin to follow the ways of God. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but you got to get on his roadmap and let him be the leader. He be your North Star on your map. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll